conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the LGL Q4 and full year results conference. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Mr. Mark Gavelli. You may begin your call, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us today. Today's call will cover the fourth quarter 2018 and the year-end 2018 for the LGL Group. If those of you online can look on the corporate website, you'll find a presentation for this quarterly call, which you can follow along with. And during the call, we will indicate different page numbers as we move through a very brief presentation. I now hand the call over to James Tivey, Chief Financial Officer of the LGL Group.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our earnings conference call and investor presentation for the quarter and year ended December 31st, 2018. Please note that this call will be recorded, and we anticipate making the recording available on our website at www.lglgroup.com after the call. We have issued a press release today after the market closed, reporting our results for the quarter and year ended December 31st, 2018. Before getting underway, we're required to advise you, and all participants should note, that the following discussion should be taken in conjunction with the most recent financial statements and notes thereto, as well as the Form 10-K, which will be filed with the SEC shortly. This discussion may contain forward-looking statements within the meaning of Section 27A of the Securities Act of 1933 and Section 21E of the Securities and Exchange Act of 1934. These forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties, which are detailed in our filings with the SEC. Although the company believes that its forward-looking statements are based upon reasonable assumptions regarding its business and future market conditions, there could be no assurances that the company's actual results will not differ materially from any results expressed or implied by the company's forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. Readers are cautioned that any forward-looking statements are not guarantees of future performance. Our agenda today will cover Mark, who's done our introduction, myself, I'll do a review of the financials, Michael Ferrantino will work through operations and strategy, and then we will have a question and discussion session at the end. With that, I'll turn it back over to Mark Gavelli.
Thank you, James. For those of you that are on the line looking at the corporate presentation, we are starting the presentation on page 4 of your slide decks. This is a corporate snapshot of LGL. The company operates as a development platform for a diversified portfolio of businesses. We were founded in 1917. Went public in 1946, and have a long history of supporting and growing diversified operations. The stock price closed just north of $7 a share, bringing total capitalization, equity market capitalization, to $35 million. The balance sheet is strong with $19.2 million in cash and equivalents. The principal operating subsidiary of the business, Mtron, in 2018, completed the year with $24.9 million in revenues and a backlog of $17.5 million. We'll hear more from James Tivey and Michael Ferrantino in a moment about the business and its operations. The total share count as of the end of the year, 4.95 million fully diluted shares outstanding. The focus today of the LGL Group emphasizes an interesting and growing area in the marketplace, the aerospace and defense sector. And we'll talk about how the business has oriented itself towards this sector over the last few years under Michael Ferrantino's leadership. Slide 5 Long-term value drivers for the business focus really on three central pillars: organic growth, the organic growth, growing share in the defense market where we can in our respective niches; margin expansion through the optimization of operations; and the ability to generate cash, convert that cash, and maintain a strong investment program for the return of that cash. On slide 6, I'd like to extend a very special thanks to Michael Ferrantino that joined just a little more than 5 years ago in the late fall of 2013. And Michael has been instrumental in organizing the business around some of the key points that we'll talk about today, specifically in the aerospace and defense sector. It's been a privilege to have Michael as our Chief Executive Officer and Chairman. Michael has been able to build and strengthen the organization, focusing on several areas, importantly talent, where he's been able to attract and retain top technical and business talent. He's also been able to develop greater systems engineering and project management capabilities with the technical staff. In the area of research and development, he's helped bring forward partners and partner with customers to think about innovative solutions and bring those to the market. And he's also increased the rate of the commercialization and speed to market that works through our design pipeline. And all of that, of course, rests on excellent processes. And those of you that know Michael understand his attention to detail. He has worked with the engineering team from the design proposals to the bidding to the contracting processes to improve the win rate. And he's really improved the coordination. We'll hear about this later across the organization, because the organization does have a global footprint, and Michael has been instrumental in helping to align the expertise across the organization, which includes facilities in India and throughout the United States. So I, on behalf of the Board of Directors, want to extend a special thanks on behalf of all stakeholders for Michael Ferrantino and his efforts over the last few years. So with that, I want to turn this over to James Tivey to talk about the 2018 full year results and the quarter. Thank you.
Okay, let me summarize for you where LGL stands as of the fourth quarter of 2018 and for the year-to-date period. Total revenues for 2018 were $24.9 million, an increase of over 11% from revenues of $22.4 million the prior year. Consolidated gross margin as a percentage of revenues increased to 38.8% for the 2018 year from 34.6% for 2017. The increase in consolidated gross margin reflects our strategy to move away from the low-margin commodities business, including purchase products, and focus on achieving revenue growth through the development of more complex, higher-margin products, particularly in the aerospace and defense product markets. As of the end of 2018, our order backlog was $17.5 million, which is an increase of 50% compared to our backlog of $11.7 million as of the end of 2017. This increase indicates a strong base for our revenues over the next several quarters. Operating income of $1,430,000 for the 2018 year was an improvement of $1,154,000 from operating income of $276,000 for 2017. The improvement in operating income was primarily due to the increases in revenues and improvements in gross margin. Net income for the 2018 year was $1,405,000 compared to $117,000 for 2017. Basic net income per share for 2018 was 30 cents compared to 4 cents for 2017, and diluted net income per share was 29 cents for 2018 compared to 4 cents for 2017. As of December 30, 2018, our consolidated working capital was $24.6 million with $19.3 million in cash and marketable securities. With that, I'll turn the call back over to Mark.
Thank you, James. And those again on the line, presentation, slide number 7. Let's move through very quickly a few highlights for the company. In 2018, the aerospace and defense plans continued to materialize further with operational improvements at the Mtron subsidiary. The balance sheet has strengthened considerably as a result of rights issues that were successfully subscribed to, as well as an outstanding warrant issue that was also subscribed to, and we thank our shareholders for their participation. That change, coupled with the material improvements in operations, have really expanded the company and its options as it looks forward across the landscape. Looking out, Mtron should continue to further its growth through organic improvements in blocking and tackling and, of course, investments in its core. In the aerospace and defense sector more broadly, the company is active in looking to broaden its franchise with M&A and liftouts. And we'll hear more about that later. Also, the company has a blue chip customer base, and the orientation in building value continues to look to the customer for value added solutions as the franchise develops. And a third point, as we look forward, is to grow around the core attributes that are inherent to LGL Group using the Lynch Systems vehicle to pursue investments and leverage the management expertise into the capital markets to grow value for shareholders. On slide 8, let's now focus on the core segment of aerospace and defense around the Mtron PTI business unit. Mtron PTI is an engineering-centric company which has high reliability in spectrum and frequency control solutions in harsh environments, very well suited for military and aerospace, and under the oversight of Michael Ferrantino, the business has shifted considerably in this sector and continues to grow within this sector. Let's turn to slide 9. This sector itself has some considerable tailwinds, driven, of course, by the U.S. government budget and its sequester levels. We outlined that the growth in the defense budget has grown between 20 and 25% since 2013, and it's expected to grow, looking forward, north of 5%. So that is an exciting and interesting market to continue to operate in and focus on. In the public markets, defense multiples, as looking at EV to EBITDA, continue to trade at high levels relative to the last 15 years, and we expect that that continues to maintain itself as a premium overall to the market. The backlog for defense contractors also remains at highs, and if you look at the last 5 years, we're continuing at five-year highs based on the fourth quarter. So the overall background from which MTRUMP operates is attractive. On slide 10, then looking at the actual procurement programs within the 2018 budget per U.S. Congress, you can see that there are several prime contractors which are directly aligned with several areas of the U.S. military, for example, Lockheed, General Dynamics, Boeing, and we'll talk about how the MTRON story fits within this dynamic with the 50 years of experience within the organization and strong customer relationships. On slide 11, we outline a graphic that gives a sense of MTRON's products and capabilities within the aerospace and defense landscape, from individual soldiers to missiles and aerospace. The MTRON product line, with its radio frequency capabilities, serve a diverse customer base. We'll talk a bit about some of these applications when Michael Ferrantino comes on, but it's very exciting to look at the development of the product set and some unique features that are offered through MTRON as the business line has developed, specifically areas such as jamming, signal jamming, which are important components for soldiers on the field, as well as other areas of defense, which we'll talk about. On slide 12, you have a triangle of value, looking at the component suppliers, modules as tier 3 and 4 suppliers, and this is the area where MTRON competes and provides value. These areas relative to tier 2 and tier 1 suppliers with more integrated subsystems and then fully integrated systems, modules and components tend to have lower price sensitivity. It's also an area where there is room for a considerable amount of consolidation, both from the entrepreneur as well as from the result of some of the larger mergers and acquisitions that are happening in the industry. So we're quite excited about the area that we operate, but of course we look to customer-oriented solutions, which also drives us and orients us up the triangle into the Tier 2 arena as we look forward longer term. And just to add a few other points to this landscape, on slide 13, the focus is building customized solutions with a high engineering content. So the MTRON business specifically focuses areas where the niche has some protective qualities, and our focus on the applications in aircraft, electronic jamming, as well as radar, are exciting for the business. And we'll talk about that now in further detail. With that, on slide 14, I hand this presentation over to the Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of LGL, Michael Ferrantino. Thank you.
Well, first, thank you for those kind words, Mark, and I need to add that everybody in our LGL family has made major contributions and effort, work, and their morale is so high that I'm proud to be part of the team. Now, before I get, I'm on slide 14, but I want to give you a little introduction that might provide some clarity as to how we arrived at the strategy that we put in place. In early 2014, we completed an analysis of our businesses, and we looked at our strengths and weaknesses, as you would expect, and it came like cream to the top of the bottle. Our key strength, our core competence, was clearly our expertise in circuit design, being able to design circuits with using crystals, being able to spec crystals was pretty much separated us from some of our competitors because we've been doing it for so long and so well. Perhaps our biggest weakness, and I'm going to use a word here, was understanding the requirements of the telecom market, and I'll try to explain what I mean by that. In telecom, our margins were low, and share of the market was also low, which clearly was gave us difficulty in being a low-cost manufacturer. In addition, the terms and conditions that the major OEMs imposed on us were really onerous, and our margins in general were about 27% overall. And in those particular businesses, that integrated telecom, we'd be lucky to be at 17 or 18. So they were, and that was at the top gross margin before we got into the commissions and financing in some cases for our customers. So we made the decision to slowly exit the telecom market. Now, to give you an example, in 2014 of our total revenue, the telecom market represented 26%. In the year we just completed, 2018, where we had some great growth, as evidenced by the press release that I hope you've read, that participation of our total business went from 26% to 8%. So you can see when we say we slowly extracted ourselves by not making any investments, but I'll use a word that perhaps I shouldn't, but we cash cowed that business. We took our circuit skill set and moved into the customers with highly engineered products in the sectors of defense electronics, mostly avionics, and as Mark said, we focused in avionics, radar, EW, and missile programs. We have moved a great deal of our business into some very high-end, smart munitions. And in 2014, aerospace and defense was about 50% of the total business that we were doing, revenue. In 2018, it was 77%. So all of the things that we applied to defocus one market and to focus on another market, you can see that the integrated telecom market went down by 18%, and our aerospace defense business went up by 27%, 50% more, and the margins have improved from an average in 2014 of 27% to typically we 34 to 36 if you look at the 35% area plus or minus a couple of percent if you look at us on a quarterly basis, and that depends on the mix. So we've had vast improvement in net profits, EBITDA, especially, I won't even go back to 14 anymore, I'll just go from 17 to 18. We really feel our strategy is working, and I expect to continue without any major changes. You know, there's times when there's an opportunity and we may make a small mid-course correction, but we pretty much are not going to deviate from the strategy we put in place and that has been so successful. I would like to make one more comment, because now I want to move from strategy to the next subject, operations, and I want to make a comment. The level of new orders we received in 2017, which brought our backlog up to $17.5 million, was unexpected. Things came together quite nicely. In the statement that I make on strategy, we work hand in hand. We do engineering sell. Our marketing and salespeople that we employ that work directly for the company, they're all degreed engineers. So they can sit across from an engineer, look at a block diagram, and tell them how we can help them. And that's what's provided this increase in what I call hand-to-hand working relationship with our customers. And that's paid off by the rewards we've seen. And it's not that we've added a lot of new customers. We have multiplexed the existing customers. And in the defense business, you know, as Mark presented in one of his slides, there's 10, 12 of the people that we do a tremendous amount of business with, and I think that will continue. Now, operationally, today, I have to say that I don't want to use the word block and tackling, because I think we're pretty much complete that, but we're very tactical, because we're doing everything we can. And in the press release, you'll notice I said that by the third quarter, I expect that we'll be closer to a book-to-bill of one. I still want our backlog to grow, but I do want to relieve some of it by getting our revenue higher and more in line with the orders bookings that we've been experiencing. And that will happen. Some of it will happen this quarter, a small amount. It'll grow next quarter. And by third quarter, I really believe that we'll be at full capacity. And what I mean by that is to address the scheduling issues and have between 95 and 100% on-time delivery to our customers. That sort of concludes the preamble that I had. I hope I didn't bore you, but I think it set the stage for some of the things that are happening in the company and drives home that we're really committed to our strategy. Now let's talk a little bit about what we have here. The next slide, slide 15, we are headquartered. MTRON PTI is headquartered in Orlando, and we have a pretty good size footprint here. We have an 80,000 square foot facilities. We have corporate finance, management. You can read that in all of our production. We have tremendous capacity, more than in terms of space in some pieces of equipment, to grow without making major capital expansion. Where we do spend money on capital, and we did put, when we give our first quarter results, you'll see that we used some cash to upgrade the building that we're in and to add a few pieces of equipment, mostly electronics, to get up there and to be able to test, measure, and tune higher frequencies. In Yankton, we have 55,000 square feet, and that plant focuses 100% on oscillators, frequency control products, timing devices. And that also has capacity. Nodia in India, where we're doing a lot of custom filtered designs now and production, which we feed back into Orlando, that I can tell you is the only plant that, since I've been around, and as Mark said, I've been, you know, 5.5 years, it feels only like yesterday, we've actually expanded that. I think when I first came, we doubled it. I think we had 6 to 7 to 8, and that plant has actually been expanded. And I expect that will be a long time before we fill up both Orlando and Yankton, but we do intend to continue to grow our low-cost manufacturing operation in India. We also have a small facility Precision Time in Frequency is one of our subsidiaries. It's a small one. It's in Wakefield, Massachusetts. It does more racks for ground GPS. It's a nice little operation. We think it can grow. It's in a small market niche, but we like niche places, and we think we can do something with it. We have local sales and support throughout the world. We have people in Sacramento. We forgot to put on here, we have also an applications engineer in Austin, Texas. And so we are pretty well covered. When you focus on the defense business, aerospace OEMs, it's all in the country. So the majority of our focus is in the U.S. and some in Canada. We have 30 representatives. We go to market through reps, not through distributors. We go through manufacturers, reps, who basically we use to open the door for us. And then we, from the factory, will provide an applications engineer, a design engineer, especially when we think the opportunity is large enough to support it. So we provide hand-to-hand, again, I'll reinforce, working relationships with our customers. We have a relationship in the power amplifier area with a company that we actually private label. They private label for us. They have two sites in Seoul. One site is for design and the other is for production. And they really have done a pretty good job in the high power amplifier business, which helps us penetrate the electronic warfare area. On the next slide, 16, what we've done is we've moved, and again, just to reinforce, we've moved out of the integrated telecom, which was basically commodities, into providing, again, I go back to saying solutions, engineered solutions that will allow our customers like Ciena, like Honeywell in the instrument area and Airbus in the avionics area to be able to handle harsh environments. At 35,000 feet, if it's in a jet fighter, it could be 55,000 feet, way up in the altitude. It's pretty cold, and we're able to do that with our broad-based product line of timing devices. On page 17, we talk a little bit about our oscillators. We are experts in LC and in LC filters, and we do have the ability to get up into from 1 megahertz to 90 megahertz, which is millimeter wave, but primarily the majority of our business is in the 10 gigahertz area where we really excel. And if you look on the right side of the chart, there's three names on there, Harris, Raytheon, and Rockwell Collins, who are the who's who in the defense OEM business, and we have the privilege to serve them, and we've gained print positions with every single one of them over the last few years. Again, moving to page 18, for the future, everything is about getting smaller, smart weapons smaller, less weight, less power consumption, more power handling capability. And in LC filters, which are lumped element filters, we have a program going on now to reduce size, weight, footprint. In the frequency control area, we've been working, but we're starting to make more progress in the vibration-compensated oven-controlled crystal oscillator area in the sweet spot between 50 and 160 megahertz. And everything is moving to surface mount so that people can automatically insert products in circuit boards, and we have some activity going on in that area. Now, I'm going to conclude. You can read that slide, but in conclusion, I want to say that we are well positioned through the fact that we have capacity that we can fill to grow organically and coupled with some synergistic acquisitions at the MTRON PTI level. We have the bandwidth to grow well into the future, and I'm pretty I have high confidence that for the next few years, I don't think anything can, I won't say anything, but we're pretty much on track to continue the growth that we've seen over the last year or so. Now I'm going to turn it over to the operator, and we'll open it up to questions, and you can direct them to James for financial, for me to technical, marketing, or even financial. Thank you for your attention.
At this time, in order to ask your question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Once again, that's star one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster.
Good.
And there are no questions in queue at this time. And I'm sorry, your first question comes from the line of Vishal Mishra.
Hi, yeah. My question is, I missed the initial part of the call. Great quarter and good numbers. So congratulations, everyone. My question is, who's going to replace Michael, who isn't such a good job and going with a better strategy and operations and everything. So what is the plan for Mr. Ferentino's role?
I'll try to take a stab at that. The board is currently working on that as we speak. As I said in my letter of, I think it was the third quarter, I was not in a rush to leave. It would be sometime between spring and summer. I'm still flexible. I'm working on a project right now. It happens to be tactical, but I'm working on it, and I could complete that as early as the end of June, or maybe it might take another 4, 5, 6 weeks, but no longer than that. So the board is working on it. There are a couple of candidates that we're serious about that will be able to fill my shoes and maybe do better, I hope. Does that answer your question?
And what was the reason, Michael, I'm sorry, maybe I there was some other information for it. Why did you decide to leave, and what is the whole background behind
it? Oh, my God. I hope it's clear. I'm not going for another job. I think it's time for me. We have such a strong team here. I think it's time for me to get off the stage and let somebody else share that stage with this beautiful group of people who are working really hard, making a lot of progress. I was retired when I joined. My last birthday, I turned 76. So I would say, put a hook out there like they did in the old vaudeville and pull them off the stage. That's why I'm leaving. I'm going to retire.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then are further questions in queue at this time. Your next question comes from the line of Ian Cassell.
Yeah, congratulations on the quarter. My question relates to the cash that you have on the balance sheet. I was wondering if you could maybe just provide some color on perhaps what the acquisition potential is currently, maybe what the opportunity set looks like.
I'll try. I hate to use an excuse that it's difficult, but it is. We treasure that money that was raised, and most of it came from shareholders in November of last 17. We've looked at several synergistic acquisition, we have, but we've not been able to get one across the finish line because it doesn't break down in due diligence. It doesn't get that far. It just seems like it might be too risky for us. It might be one-off, and that's not talking about LGL. LGL could handle a non-synergistic acquisition if it could get the management team to go with the company. But for MTRON PTI, I look at block diagrams, and I look at what's on that block diagram. I look at customers. I look at what customers buy, and can we bring more to the same base? and it hasn't come to fruition. Now, we did make two acquisitions, one in 14, a company called a group. We pulled it out of Trilithic. It's been very good for us. We're still doing about $1 million a year in revenue from it. It worked perfectly. It was integrated well by this team. Part of it went to India. The other part of it stayed here in Orlando. We also bought in 16, that small operation, Precise Time and Frequency in Wakefield, Mass, and that's chugging along quite nicely. But we, since then, since 16, I've not been able to bring myself to at least find what I think is the right thing for the company, and I'd rather go slow when it comes to an acquisition.
Excellent. Thank you for the color.
Yep. You're welcome.
Once again, in order to ask your question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. And there are no further questions in queue at this time.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the questions, and thank you very much for your participation. We all appreciate it. Our chairman appreciates it. Our CFO appreciates it, and so do I. And I look forward to maybe making one more of these before I go play at the beach. Thank you again. Bye now.